Today's episode is called Raising Entrepreneurs and Why It Matters. I think you're really going to love this. I know it's one of my favorite things to talk about. So let's talk about it. About 15 years ago, someone gave me a huge box of sweet potatoes. And at the time, we were so broke. We had no money and we were just desperately in debt from a series of recession, my husband losing his job, and then trying to quick start a new business with no capital. I mean, we could not pay the bills. We didn't have a lot of food. We were really in hard times. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had your yard rolled with toilet paper? Okay. Have you ever collected the toilet paper, put it in a basket, and put it in the bathroom for people to use? Because I did that. That's when I say we were in hard times, that's what we're talking about. Well, instead of eating the potatoes, I decided to scrape up a little money, literally out of the change jar, and buy the ingredients to make sweet potato pies. And then my daughter and I just drove to the neighbors' houses. You know, you're broke when you're knocking on the neighbor's door trying to sell stuff, you know. And we sold the pies. And after we had exhausted our neighborhood, we drove into our small town and started selling walking to local businesses door to door. After we sold all the pies, we kind of got the bug. So we picked some blackberries, you know, free food, bagged them up in little plastic bags, and did the same thing. We just started selling stuff. Well, after that, we decided to start selling some things on eBay, and I didn't even have a camera at the time. I had just learned how eBay worked, but it was amazing. My very first sale was a book of Shakespeare's plays that I bought at a yard sale for 75 cents and sold on eBay for $25. You would have thought I sold it for $1,000. I was so excited. And that was no picture, just put the book up. Did you know I've even sold those? When I was having babies, I would get these free baby formula coupons in the mail, and I would sell those on eBay and people bought them. And my husband and kids figured out that if they like something, they should probably hide it. Now, you might be wondering what on earth that has to do with raising entrepreneurs, but the important thing to know about entrepreneurs is they solve problems. Those early desperate years in our marriage, as painful as they were really such a blessing because they set the course for our family in a way we wouldn't know until years later. So there's a little side lesson about pushing through adversity and believing that God will use it for your good. We were forced to solve a problem, and that's what entrepreneurs do. And if you can groom your children to be entrepreneurially minded, you're really giving them so much more to use in life, no matter what they end up doing. Why does it matter? What is being an entrepreneur all about? I've listed 6 benefits I think there is to raising entrepreneurs or fostering the entrepreneurial spirit. Number one, I just said it, but let me say it again. The big picture is that entrepreneurs solve problems, and that's really at the heart of it. They ask questions and find answers. Parents, listen, we should worry a little less about what our child is scoring on the SAT and a little more about what kind of problem solvers they are. Because when life hits, it's the problem solvers that will rise to the challenge. See, not all your children will necessarily grow up to be entrepreneurs by trade. But what I'm talking about here is fostering the kind of optimism in our children that says, where there's a will, there's a way. Because that mentality gets us over a lot of barriers in life, you know? And that's really what the spirit of entrepreneurism is. It's never giving up, always looking for solutions and answers to a problem. And quite frankly, we've never lived in a day where that's as easy to do as now. We need to understand what an important skill this is and how much advantage it gives our children and then equip them for it. I'll talk about the how-to later, but I think raising children to think entrepreneurially taps into the amazing power of the human spirit. In our family, we've been reading the story of Johnny Erickson, Tata. Most of you probably know she was paralyzed from the neck down. And we all love to read these stories because of the tremendous courage and willpower you see in people who are faced with seemingly impossible circumstances, but then overcome them. Well, I think the entrepreneurial spirit is a bit like that, and we can help our children become more resilient to life's difficult challenges if we can give them that. What a gift. The second benefit I see is entrepreneurs own companies, boost the economy, and greatly influence society. Before the Industrial Revolution, entrepreneurs were the engine of society, and families understood the enormous advantage of establishing family economy and business. But over the last few hundred years, we've lost that. If you read John Taylor Gatto's The Underground History of Education, you'll understand how there was a huge push for the public school system to turn out employees and create this sort of assembly line mentality, basically, because docile citizens who just follow instructions are easier to manage than creative, innovative, courageous ones who like to set their own course. And you're going to see more and more of a disdain for entrepreneurism as our country becomes more socialist-minded, I think. There's a quote by the Americans for the Constitution that says, "Marxists hate entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs represent the opposite of Marxism. Entrepreneurs are about freedom, innovation, and hard work. Marxism is about government control." So there's a concerted effort to crush the entrepreneurial spirit because it is threatening on some level. It only stands to reason then that that effort would be heavy in the government institution of schooling. So if you see how even the whole system is set up like an assembly line, then kids and parents alike are instilled with this fear of good grades so you can get a good job. And that fear is paralyzing. It avoids risk and keeps us jumping through all the hoops. Now, I'm not trying to suggest working for a company is a less than job. Certainly, there's a tremendous need for that. I'm just suggesting that the assembly line way of schooling is not favorable at all to all the would-be entrepreneurs. As homeschoolers, I think we agree that we want to see the next generation leading. Leading in the faith, leading in kingdom work, but also in business, in politics, in media, and entertainment. But to get there, we've got to break the mold that the school systems have created of squelching our children's love of learning and recognizing their individual gifts. And we can be guilty of doing the same thing even at home. We need to be raising children who create businesses and products and lead the way. But to do that, we're going to have to be willing to think and educate outside the box. And on the note of getting out of the box of a schooling pattern that I think actually hampers creativity and the entrepreneurial spirit, and it's a different topic, but I've written a book about my philosophy of education called Think Outside the Classroom, A Practical Approach to Relaxed Homeschooling. It's a fast read, but it's full of practical direction about how to have a more relaxed schooling environment and foster your child's interests and gifts. Now, the third benefit of raising entrepreneurs, on a more practical level, entrepreneurial skills are safer than a more specialized skill set. I'm talking in terms here of life work and adjusting to the economy. So as we raise our children to diversify their gifts and learn how to turn any number of things into a business model, we give them a great advantage. I've seen this with my husband. If the economy lags for a time, he can easily adapt and use another skill set to generate income. And this is because, again, entrepreneurs find all sorts of ways to solve problems and make money and aren't as limited in scope as a more specialized skill set. The fourth benefit is an entrepreneurial family can really see the financial benefits before their kids get grown. So children become an asset to a family rather than a financial drain. Entrepreneurs are resourceful and creative, always learning new skills, always looking for an opportunity to make money or ways to save it. An entrepreneurial family benefits from having multiple streams of income. our children, once they begin making money, buy their own things, which boosts the economy of the family. The fifth benefit is earning money and learning how economy works on a basic level at an early age breeds independence and maturity and gives them a good working knowledge of how money works, which is a priceless lesson. And I think that will affect them as much or more than even how much money they earn as adults. We've got a society full of people who do not know how to manage their money, and the result is a lifetime of slavery. And then the sixth and last benefit I see is entrepreneurism. And the sixth and last benefit I see is entrepreneurialism is about freedom. Entrepreneurs work hard, there's no doubt, but they also enjoy a freedom from being self-employed, as well as having no ceiling on their income. At the end of the day, even if your children get a mainstream job with an employer, the entrepreneurial spirit will serve them well throughout life. So I want to talk a minute about the financial benefits I've mentioned briefly of an entrepreneurial family. Kevin Swanson said, "We are a seven-income household." Years ago, this was a normal way of thinking. Think about it. What better way to really prepare your children for life than to let them help pay for some of the family expenses or help with generating income? If you say that in a mainstream crowd, it's almost synonymous with child abuse. When you hear of back in the olden days when all the kids picked cotton, they were adding value to the family economy. And the same can still be true, except most of us don't have cotton fields, but we do have other areas of production, easier than picking cotton, by the way, where working together as a family saves or earns money. There's, as an example, several of our girls have learned over the years how to make some really cute things for gifts. We really encourage being productive with our hands. And I don't know if you've ever added up what you spend on just gifts alone in a year, but making homemade gifts can be a substantial savings. They've made jewelry, aprons, hats, scarves, beautiful printed tile coasters, pillows, personalized baby items, palette signs, I mean, just really cute things. We're not talking about just little crocheted toilet paper Barbie dresses, or most of you probably don't even remember those, but they were very useful. And we talk to them about the value of that, both in our family and possibly later. We point out how much money they save us. Sometimes we purchase the product from them to give to our friends, but they know they're contributing in a valuable way. So we really talk about that a lot and try to build this entrepreneurial spirit in our family. As they get older, skills they've been encouraged to acquire can be turned into profit. When my son was younger, well, he still does, but when he was younger, he's a very gifted artist, and he started selling portraits for people at $100 to $200 each. Now he charges more. And you know, in addition to that, he was making his clothing purchases. He was getting the extra things that he wanted and also able to save some of the income to prepare for larger purse. Also able to save some of the income preparing for larger purchases up ahead. I'm guessing most of you have that philosophy of giving them more and more financial responsibility, but it's not the norm. Contrary to the popular notion of the culture, many children can add to the family's economy as they get older instead of draining it. That's the big picture here. I had two girls that used to clean neighbors' houses once or twice a week, and they made more money per hour than they could doing anything else. One of my daughters opened an Etsy shop, and she sold her tile coasters, and then she landed a small commercial account with a local beverage company. So, not full-time jobs, but enough money to gain some independence and get a feel for how it all works. We often would get asked about our 11 children, how do you afford them? The question is a revelation of how we've changed our thinking about family economy. And I guess people imagine us paying for everything all 11 of their little hearts desire, but we really encourage them to find ways to earn their own money for those extra things. And they really appreciate them a lot more anyway. Another example of this is my children are often hired to do things for other families because there's no one available to do it. The same people asking me how we afford our children are paying my children money to mow their grass, clean their house, keep their dogs, house sit. Children can be a real asset to a family. They know when they are not only inherently valued as people, but also when they have an important role in the family. That helps them to feel even more valuable. We all need to belong and feel important, like we're contributing. And I think that when a child feels important and valuable that way, he isn't as likely to look outside the home to find his worth. And I could say more about that, but you know what I'm saying. There's a balance. I'm not talking about having children so they become your slaves. I'm talking about a healthy balance where everyone does an important part and we all share the workload and the contribution to the finances. And even the younger ones can do this. From time to time, we will come up with some extra jobs that need to be done and offer it to give them a chance to have their own spending money. But the most important thing is just teaching them basic economy. Well, my older ones have learned it well, I think, because the other day when my son had kitchen cleanup, I noticed the 8-year-old was washing dishes. And I asked about it, and he said, "Oh, well, my sister paid me $2 to do it. It was her turn. I'm not sure I can complain about that. You know, work smarter, not harder." And on occasion, I might pay a child to clean my room as well. Like I said, a problem solved. That's what entrepreneurs do. This American idea that parents are somehow obligated to pay for everything for their children, including a car and college, is not only absurd and terribly burdensome, but it's so harmful to a child who wakes up one day in the real world and finds out things cost money. I think we do a terrible disservice to our kids by not allowing them to learn how money works from their own experience. And I'm not saying that if you pay for your child's college, you're a bad parent, but we don't need to be raising children who feel entitled to that. Now, the business landscape has changed drastically for the entrepreneur. And this is an exciting part to me. The landscape of running your own business has changed with the internet, and I mean drastically changed. Do you understand that a business owner pre-internet had to work really hard to find customers? He was limited to his brick and mortar or door to door. He had to pay, you know, for building space, print advertising, billboards. That's not the world we live in anymore. Listen, there are teenagers becoming millionaires with their ideas because the whole world is their marketplace, and you can start a business on your dining room table with virtually no capital. And not only that, the world has never seen such a surge in informational products, digital products, ebooks, webinars, things like that. People pay money to buy convenient information, even though they could Google it for free. It's a fascinating world we live in. I have 8 ebooks, for example. I wrote them, uploaded them, and that's it. They didn't cost me a dime, except the monthly fee for the platform where I host them for the digital market. Marketing is the only thing I have to do now. And I don't do a lot of that because I'm busy, but people pay money for my ebooks because the information they're looking for is there, all in one place, neatly packaged, and it appeals to them. And they trust me. And there are millions of people doing the same thing. Any business idea you or your children have is so much more easily marketed now than in previous years. And we can take advantage of that. I started out telling you about selling those pies around the neighborhood. We struggled financially for a long time, and my husband was working 3 and 4 jobs at a time while I continued to look for ways to save and make money from home. And I tell this because I want you to see how God works things out. I am asked now to do some public speaking around the country, and I've been out of the country on mostly at homeschooling conferences and things like that. The reason that began was because I have a web presence through my blog, and word of mouth gets around fast on the internet. And so, you know, that's how it happens. But here is the way my blog was born. There's a guy that started a Craigslist business. And so he wrote this in 2010, after getting my contractor's license and realizing that I had no desire to be a contractor, I quit. There was no use in delaying the inevitable. The problem was I had no clue in the world what I was going to do. I had no money, tons of debt, and a family to support. So he started selling on Craigslist. And what he mostly sold was appliances. He says, a few years ago, a friend of mine told me that as I got better at what I was doing, I would be tempted to start adding to the scope of my business. He told me to instead focus on the most profitable area and master that. And that's exactly what I've been doing. And I would pass on the advice to anyone. It's taken my most profitable area, which are the appliances, and made it even more profitable. I'm working less and making more than I ever have. Now, of course, as he got successful, the next obvious thing is to tell other people how he did it. So he created a webinar. It's called Appliance School. They're just video lessons. He charges $147 for this course, probably making far more through that course, which is now a passive income, than he is selling appliances. There's another business I ran across called Tatley. These are artificial tattoos. Okay. You can read the story. I think it's on CNBC. This company, in 2015, this girl, the young girl, was grossing $1.3 billion. She is selling fake tattoos for $5. And it's a sad commentary, I guess, on what we like to spend our money on, but I doubt she really cares about that. $1.3 billion selling artificial tattoos. So how do we do it? How do we raise entrepreneurs, or at least groom them to benefit from the spirit of the entrepreneur? It's true that some people are more entrepreneurial than others. I distinctly remember sitting in my office when I was 6 years old. Well, it was my closet, but I turned it into an office so I'd have a better place to plan and think. And with my paper and pencil in hand, I sketched my very first business idea. We lived on a gravel road and had just tons of rocks. And for some reason in my head, if I glued these rocks together, I could make necklaces and they would be beautiful and people would buy them. And I still see the image of the necklace in my head. And I'll tell you what it looked like. Just like Betty Flintstone's necklace. And I know now that was a terrible idea, but I have always had an entrepreneurial spirit. I can't make anything for myself or a friend without developing a marketing plan to sell it by the end of the day. I made barbecue sauce one day and spent the rest of the day doing cost analysis to see how profitable it would be to jar it and sell it commercially, which can be very distracting when your family just wants to eat barbecue, but pay attention to that in your children and really foster it if you see it. But there are certain ways to encourage that in your children and family. The first is just to talk about it. Talk about its importance. I've mentioned that already, but it bears repeating. Homeschoolers have an advantage where the public school system creates an assembly line mindset. We are able to offer our children freedom to explore their gifts and interests. Those are the things that turn into successful entrepreneurial pursuits. I feel more and more passionate about this, letting your children immerse themselves into things they're interested in, because that's when we really learn. And passions are the things businesses are made of. We can tailor our homeschooling to letting them study what intrigues them, and this is a tremendous advantage. Entrepreneurs think outside the box, and we can think outside the classroom. Number two. Plant seeds young, looking for their gifts. When one of my boys, who's now an adult, was a little boy, we were taking a trip, riding in the car, and I remember he saw a van. It was like plumber, maybe. And they had their services written on the side, and they had a phone number. And he just began to ask me questions. He asked me things like, How do those people get customers? And I said, well, you see the phone number on the van? He said, yeah, well, how did they get the phone number? I said, well, they called the phone company, and we just went through this list. How did they get a name for their company? How do they know where to go to get the phone number? How do they? And he was probably six at the time, but we went through a little, mini entrepreneurial course. And when we got home, I decided he talked about wanting to be an entrepreneur, and I said, well, what kind of business would you have? And he said, well, I think I want to dig dirt. I want to run a machine business, a big machine business. And I said, I think that's a great idea. So we talked about a name for his business. We got home and I designed some business cards for him. I put, his phone number and his name, and I think I put entrepreneur in training or something like that. And so I encouraged him to, tell people about what you want to do, because I even wanted to encourage his relationship and the way he related to people, because that's an important part. But just seeing those opportunities and taking advantage of them, I think, is so important. Also, read examples of entrepreneurs. Show them TED Talks. There are some really great ones I'll mention in a little bit, but just showing them examples of other entrepreneurs. There's a YouTube video that for kids, it's called My Side Hustle, I think, something like that. But it's all about kids who were inspired to start businesses and have done really well. That's a great one. My kids love to watch. Help them look for opportunities to conduct business around them. See what they have that they could sell. See what they could create that they could sell. So, just be looking for those opportunities, and then inspire them with other ways to make money. We have gone to craft shows, for example, when some of my girls were in there making their gifts and things like that. And that was another avenue where they could sell their things. Pay attention to their interests and gifts and help them think of ways to save or make money. Show them that people pay for homemade food items, lawn care, pet care, arts, crafts. Just try to give them a taste for exchanging product or services for money. Cameron Harold talks about watching his mother get paid for her hangers at the laundromat. He does a TED Talk, Cameron Harold, and he got the idea. So he started going around to neighbors' houses, collecting their hangers and taking them to the laundromat, and had his own little business going. It's really cute, a story. Let them build a website. If they want to build a website instead of school, they aren't missing school. These are valuable skills that people pay for that could turn into a business all its own. Let them pursue that. And then discuss the basics of marketing, just like I mentioned doing with my son. Help them think through the basic process of the marketing side of things, because that's a part of it. And then just model resourcefulness, I think, is important. Kevin Saber, a young entrepreneur who started two businesses by the age of 22, was asked to talk about some things his parents did to encourage that early in his life. Here's one of the things he mentioned. I asked my parents if I could attend tennis camp. Without missing a beat, my dad said, let's go to Costco to buy some candy bars. We then analyzed the margin per bar before loading up the grocery cart with various kinds of Mars bars to raise money for my new adventure. With each sale and every day at tennis camp, my sense of agency grew. This confidence has helped me raise millions of dollars of startup capital, recruit key team members, and partner with billion-dollar companies. And I love that his dad didn't say, sure, we can pay for that. We don't have to pay for every privilege we think our children need or want. If there's something extra they want to do, encourage them to raise the money for it. We've done this several times. Necessity requires that we do that anyway. And I believe it's a great tool for helping them see that if they want something, they're capable of figuring out a way to pay for it. Believe in them. Don't minimize their efforts. Treat them seriously. Pay them for Christmas gifts that they make, or barter with them. You could even offer to clean their room for a week in exchange for something they've made. My son made some beautiful wooden trays with cabinet handles on them to sell at a craft show, and the ones he had left, we always had as gift options to give people. So sometimes I'd pay him for one at my mother discount, of course. And then study the Proverbs and emphasize the importance of integrity in business. Trust and honesty are the number one trait to ensure a thriving business. If a transaction or business isn't built on integrity, it won't last. And then train them in communication. Second most important aspect of business, I think, teach them to type. Give them plenty of opportunities to interact with others of all ages and walks. Encourage them to write letters and be able to communicate their thoughts verbally in written form. Have them, you know, practice open communication with people face to face if they struggle with that. It's just really important to help them develop that skill. Thoroughly equip them in matters of economics. I recommend Dave Ramsey. We did his high school foundations in finance for high school, and we put them through some money management, that money management curriculum, but also help them learn to manage money early on. Talk to them about investing and interest and tithing and give them saving goals. Let me encourage you to let them take risks. I don't mean dangerous ones, but allow them to do things. From an early age, let them make their own peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Let them climb trees. Let them use tools. Let them tackle things that seem too big for them. We live in an overly protective culture that can really have a negative impact on children and their confidence. To some degree, you want them to learn to be a little bit of a risk taker. Let them try things. It's one of the most important characteristics of a successful entrepreneur, having the confidence to try new things, solve problems, fail, and learn. Don't try to remedy their boredom. Kids aren't left alone with their thoughts enough or given space to think and create. This is a huge challenge right now in the age that we live in, but boredom is a catalyst for creation, and that probably will mean taking away a device for a while, but force them to be productive. And here's a story about boredom. This is a great story. There was a boy whose dad owned a used car part store, and one summer he had to hang out at his dad's store all day. No device. It was kind of a poorer area of town. I don't know the whole story behind their family, but I'm guessing just not a lot of finances. So this little boy had to sit at the store all day long. Well, his dad discarded hundreds of boxes because of the parts that he would order. And so the little boy got creative and he decided to build himself an arcade out of the cardboard just to have something to do. So it's called Kane's Arcade. Well, after a little while, he decided maybe I could rig this up and charge, you know, the kids walking by, charge a little something for it. Well, he set it all up to be able to take money for, it was really cute. You need to look it up on YouTube. It's hard for me to explain how he did it, but you could come and you could pay to play at Kane's Arcade. Well, he sat there for days and days and days. Nobody came. There was an amateur filmmaker who happened to need to stop by the auto parts store, and he saw what this kid was doing and he thought it was fantastic. Well, he decided to, well, first of all, he paid to play a few of the games. So he was Kane's first customer and it made him so happy. Well, then the filmmaker decided to do a few videos of him and put it on social media. The little boy didn't know this. Well, the video he put up went viral. And long story short, ended up raising $60,000, which he put in a scholarship fund within 24 hours of the video's release. And the last time I looked, and it's been several years, but the last time I looked, it had raised $240,000. People came from all over the place to play his arcade, and it just changed his life, really. I think now he goes around and talks to, he does TED Talks and things like that about, you know, how to be an entrepreneur. Before the video, his teachers had marked him as slow. That was a label he was given, and said he wasn't very motivated to learn. And I think there are kids like Kane everywhere who are being force-fed information, and that's not really learning, but that's the only measure of learning we acknowledge, so many kids are labeled. What they need is the freedom to explore what they're good at. And I just think we need to start educating differently. But now he calls himself an engineer, and he has excelled in his element. And, you know, like I said, he's been all around the nation. I think he was 9 when this happened. And he became, at 9 years old, the youngest entrepreneur to speak at the USC Marshall School of Business. And then he received a full scholarship to the Colorado School of Business. For years, I have written about and talked about the difference between schooling and education. And that difference is particularly crucial in raising entrepreneurs who need to think outside of the box, outside of the narrative that we're all used to. There's a quote by Daryl Hammond. It says, "We are raising today's children in sterile, risk-averse, and highly structured environments. In so doing, we are failing to cultivate artists, pioneers, and entrepreneurs, and instead cultivating a generation of children who can follow the rules in organized sports games, sit for hours in front of screens, and mark bubbles on standardized tests." And then there's another guy, you should go look him up. He does a famous TED Talk. His name is Sir Ken Robinson. It's a really fascinating one. And he says, "Creativity is as important now in education as literacy, and we should treat it with the same status. Imagination is the source of every form of human achievement, and it's the one thing that I believe we are systematically jeopardizing in the way we educate our children and ourselves." Recognize that just as important as teaching your children how to read is letting them imagine, create, explore, build, try, and fail. We have got to come to the place where we recognize the value of these things every bit as much as learning to count and write. Now, earlier when I mentioned the guy, the TED Talk guy, Cameron Harold, he talks about being a horrible student and how teachers try to help improve in all the things he was bad at, instead of helping him excel in what he was good at. Despite the box he was in, he outsmarted the system and now is a very successful business owner. He said, "Entrepreneurs aren't students. We figure it out. We fast track the game. As an entrepreneur, you don't do accounting. You hire accountants." I love that. Inspire your children and then let them run with their passions. Connect them with other people who are passionate about the same things, who've made that passion their life work in some way. Pete Nelson is a man who loved to build tree houses. He started building those when he was 5 years old. His dad gave him a hammer and a screwdriver, and then his dad helped him learn to build. He took the time. He understood the value of his son's intrigue, and he didn't minimize it. His parents let him spend much of his days in the woods doing what he loved, inspired by the magical stories of Swiss Family Robinson and their treehouse. Today, Pete Nelson owns Treehouse Point in Washington. It is a very prestigious bed and breakfast lodge of, you guessed it, treehouses. He turned his passion into a thriving business with the help of parents who saw it and encouraged it. Let's be those parents. Let's let our kids not just make a living, but make a life.